Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. This is your host, Mason Cosby. And today I'm joined by Joseph Lewin, who is the head of podcast strategy over here at Scrappy ABM. Joseph, thank you so much for joining me today.
Heck yeah. Podcasts about podcasts. This should be a little meta.
Yeah, I have a love-hate relationship sometimes. We do like webinars on webinars or podcasts on podcasts. But what you and I have both found is podcasting. Clearly, we're pretty bought in on it. We make the joke that we have 15 people on the team and four of them run a podcast. So we're pretty bullish about it. And we look just a little bit, there's a lot to cover. Joseph, what I want to dig into most specifically with you today, you joined the company, what was it, mid-February? And within your first 30 days, completely changed how we do podcast onboarding, because the biggest thing that we struggled with our older clients is the launch. And you get no value from a podcast until it's launched. And your approach to getting a show launched within essentially 7 days, but then like big launch, you have a soft launch approach and then a hard launch approach, has really helped a lot of clients actually get significantly greater time to value. And as a result, see the impact of podcasting and account-based podcasting much more quickly. So today we're just going to walk through like literally how do you launch a show in 4 weeks? And Joseph, I just want to start with, how do you first even think about starting a podcast? Like, why should someone start a podcast?
There's a bunch of different reasons that you could start a podcast, but the one that we really lean into for the most part is starting a podcast to build your pipeline and revenue, because it works. It just works. It's a great way to build relationships with exactly the right people. Now, I would say if you approach it as a salesperson with a sales mindset, you're not actually going to get as much value, as much return as if you think of it as an amazing networking tool where you get in with the right people. And then a lot of those conversations are going to naturally turn into sales calls by the time you're done recording. And then some of them won't, but they turn into great referral partners. Like, I've landed clients in the past, and clients I've worked with land clients through a guest who comes on the show and then immediately turns around and ends up recommending somebody as a warm referral for the business. And so it's just an awesome way to actually like land new clients.
Yeah. I want to make this really tactical for people, because I ran a show called The Marketing Ladder for 2 years. And it worked, but like, I didn't really pay that much attention to the conversion metrics. And now we run about 10 shows and we have quite a bit of data across all of our clients. And what I'm seeing personally is through Scrappy ABM, when we invite a guest onto the show to talk about their programs, typically two become like in pipeline opportunities that convert into customers within 90 days, and two provide referrals. So of every 10 interviews I'm doing, I have about a 40% conversion rate into some form of an opportunity within 90 days. And then you and I have both seen 6-12 month tail. I had some people even that I interviewed on the Marketing Ladder 4 years ago that we still keep up, and they're looking at being customers in 2025. You think about podcasting as a great way of just booking good meetings with great people through the lens of, I don't want to convert today, but I want to be a value and be a help and network. It's really hard to lose with a show.
Yeah. And people do this kind of stuff all the time, right? We go to events, basically the same thing. Yeah. You could land a deal directly the day of an event, but chances are that's not going to happen. If you're in enterprise sales, you're going to build a relationship with somebody. You see them the next year at the event, then you schedule coffee with them, whatever. And going to events is not that different. The main difference is an event is going to cost you a couple grand to go to, typically, if not more, depending on how you do it. And a podcast isn't going to cost you anywhere near that per episode to get the same kind of meeting. And when you go to an event, you're basically walking around hoping that you run into a decision maker. You're going to end up talking to a lot of people who are not the right level, and you're going to try to talk to them and get them to bring their boss over to you and try to coordinate that. Whereas with a show, you just literally make a list of exactly the people that you want to talk to. So you just make a list. You said you want a tactical. So let's go tactical. The first way to start a show is you just decide, who do I need to know that's going to change my life, that's going to change my business, that's going to help grow, if you're on an individual basis, your career, if you're on a business, who's going to actually help me grow my business? And that could be prospects. It could be referral partners. It could be industry influencers that are going to give you credibility in the space that you're working in. There's a lot of ways to look at that, but you just make a list and then you literally just reach out. And the difference is when you reach out to try to sell, you're saying, hey, I have this thing. You should talk to me. I'm going to help you. Can I schedule 15 minutes on your calendar? And you got to send what, like 1,000 of those to get somebody to say yes. With this, you're reaching out and you're adding value. You're literally saying, you're super smart. I really like what you're talking about. I want to highlight you and your expertise. And you're legitimately providing value. I'm not saying a bait and switch. You are giving that person a platform to share their ideas and grow their career. You're making them not only look good and feel good themselves, but you're providing real career benefit to that person. So you can reach out confidently knowing that you're not just trying to trick this person. You're actually really helping them just by offering them, you know, that. So it's way easier to get somebody to say yes. And then I found that when somebody comes on a show, they tend to automatically like you a little bit. And if you're warm and you've really done a good job of interviewing them and making them look awesome, by the time you're done, they're absolutely way more warm and open. It's more like a friendship at that point than it is a cold call would be where you jump on a demo and hope you sell them. So then you're easily able to turn that into something much, much better.
Yeah. So when you then think about how do I go from this list to a show that's actually launched, like I think it's somewhere in the ballpark of 90% of shows don't make it past episode 3. And then if you want to be in the top 1% of podcasters, publish 21 episodes. So people just really struggle to get a show launched and really running. So as you've built out this process, what is step one to actually getting the show launched?
Yeah. And I want to just reiterate what you're saying, because I think it's a really important point. I've worked on over 30 show launches, and there's an inverse between how long it takes you to launch a show and how likely you are to actually close revenue. So I found that when a show gets launched within the first 60 days, but definitely within the first 30 days, they're so much more likely to actually close deals through that show, period. And they're way more likely for the show to continue, because a huge part of running a show like this is just reps. You need reps to close deals, and you need reps to get good enough at it for people to want to watch your show. So the faster you get those reps, the more likely you are. So what holds people up a lot of times is they're going, I need to figure all of this stuff out. I need my show to be perfect. I need the equipment to be just right. I need to be polished. It needs to be exact. Everything needs to be perfect before I launch. And that really slows a lot of people down. So most of the time when you're thinking like that, it's going to take you 3 to 6 months to actually launch a show if you ever do it. And even when you engage somebody like us in the past, it still would take 3 months because there's a lot of those little nuances that people get hung up on. So what we've done with our process, we basically just have figured out what are the things that hold people up and keep them from launching a show. And we've taken on a lot of that work ourselves or take things completely out of the process to make it super easy. So step one is just you meet with us and we're going to define all the different pieces that we need in a 30-day period to actually launch a show. I'm talking from, we called the kickoff day zero and the launch of the show, the trailer of the show at 30 days from day zero. We're going to define exactly what needs to be done, what meetings we need to have, what information we need, and then we're going to schedule that on the calendar and just make it happen.
I love the just going ahead and booking out the meetings, because the other thing that I've seen is like meetings drive deadlines. So if you actually just go ahead and said, all right, we're going to launch a podcast 30 days from now, what are the things that we need to do in the next 30 days? How do we get that on the calendar? And then you actually have the capability to then just drive that urgency. As you then think about the specific things that happen in the first 30 days, what is the roadmap of what needs to happen between day zero and day 30 to actually get the show launched?
You got to figure out what's your show going to be about. Now, people get really hung up on this. So I would think about a couple things. One is, what does your show need about be about to make it really easy for the person you're trying to reach out to say yes to coming on the show? So if you sell marketing services, if you're selling to marketers, you can have a show like Scrappy ABM, right? But if you're a marketing agency and you sell to cybersecurity people, having a show that's about marketing might be really hard to get your decision maker on. So what does your show need to be about to actually get people to come on your show? So that's one thing you need to think about. Another piece of getting that show name and the show premise figured out is, what do you want to be known for as a brand or as the individual who's running the show? And once you figure out those two things, basically where the Venn diagram crosses over between those things, that's really where you want to be for your show premise and show name to drive business and get the influence and brand lift that you're looking for. So show name, show premise is important. Then figuring out your guest list. The faster you figure that out and start doing outreach, that's a huge component to actually making this work and consistent. And so you want to look for ideal customers, but the fastest and easiest way to do it is, who are some friendlies that you can have on so you get comfortable and get that out of the gate? and try to get those recorded even in the first week that you try to get this going. Get those first episodes recorded. Definitely by the end of week two, you want to get two or three friendly people on and recorded with them. The next thing would be then doing cold outreach. People will say yes to coming on your show. And this is one of the biggest mistakes I see people make, even when we're working with clients. And I say this over and over again, it's really hard for people to understand how important it is. Reach out to cold people you've never talked to, people outside of your network. Because when you have somebody on from outside your network, you're actually getting the value of their entire network. You're breaking into a brand new network. And there's a new network effect that happens when you do that. So definitely just reach out to those folks. And then the third category of people that I would look for right away out of the gate is, who have you already talked to who is interested in what you're doing, who has gone dark? Maybe you even have a proposal out, you just haven't heard back, they've ghosted you. That is the perfect person to reach out to, because just because they didn't respond to your sales email doesn't mean that they're not going to come on your show. So reach out, and chances are if they come on your show, they're going to volunteer, hey, here's why this deal fell apart, or here's where we're actually at in the process, and they're going to give you the information you need to keep going. So those are a couple of things I would start with right out of the gate to be able to launch your show. And then just a couple super tactical things is figure out what hosting platform you want to use. We use Captivate, and then it's pretty easy. You can create show artwork in Canva or do something like that to keep it really simple. And then you set up Captivate and connect it to the podcast platforms and stuff like that.
I think about the friendlies through a texting relationship. So who could you text right now and say, hey, can you hop on a podcast recording? I'm launching a show and really just would love to do this with you. The first 13 episodes of The Marketing Ladder, which was my first show, were all like really bad, truly terrible, because I didn't know how to be a host. I'd never done it before. So I'm thankful that I got to ask some people that I already knew to come early, and I wasn't trying to make it into any kind of a sales opportunity. So I just think that's probably one of the best things that we have seen make people more successful, because they build confidence that they can do it. And then the other thing that I just really love to call out is I have been shocked at, we recently hired an account executive, so I've stepped out of a sales seat. But for the first year and a half of building this business, like, I was solo seller here, and people would just like not respond at all after going dark. And then suddenly I'd say, hey, by the way, do you want to join the podcast? And they would respond same day after like ignoring the past 8 emails with no shame. And they'd be like, oh yeah, like I just didn't want to put this in writing because it's awkward because these things happened. And now that we're here and this is not recorded. Yeah, this is actually what happened behind the scenes. The insider information you gather through podcasting is truly insane.
I want to tell a quick story here because it's hard to believe unless you actually do it or you've worked with somebody who's had something like this happen. So I helped my brother launch a show a few years ago. He sells a high-end radar. He had just started in this business like I think 3 or 4 months before. He'd gone to a couple conferences. They do a lot of events. That's the main thing they do. He's a sales guy. And he talked to this guy at an event and they had a great conversation, told the guy all about what they do. He was interested. And then after the event, my brother reached out to him and didn't hear back. And he's really good at this kind of stuff as far as like sending valuable information. It wasn't just, hey, just following up kind of stuff. He's actually really good and couldn't get the guy back at all. About a month later, I told my brother, dude, just try it. Start a show and reach out to this guy and ask him to come on. So this is the first guest. My brother's never done a show before. He reached out to that guy who had gone dark. 5 minutes after reaching out, the guy responded back and said, I'd love to come on your show, after ghosting him for a month or two, whatever it was. The guy comes on his show, and after the show's done, the guy says to him, hey, I just had 500 grand open up in budget. Here's the name of my procurement lady. Let's get this done. And they closed the deal in less than 3 weeks from recording that episode. $500,000 deal in less than 3 weeks that normally takes 12 to 18 months to close. And my brother was like, there is no way that this guy would have even remembered that I existed if I didn't have him on my show. And that has now turned into over $1 million account for him over the last year and a half.
And what I love about that story is it's not unique. Like, that actually happens a surprising amount if you do this well. So we've now nailed down a lot of the upfront. I'm curious, one of the things that you've done from a pivot perspective is transitioned a lot of the recordings to live shows. So I'm curious, why live versus pre-recorded?
Yeah, so the benefit of kicking off with a live show is that, for one, it just forces you to do it, right? If you schedule a live show with somebody, they're more likely to come on. You're more likely to follow through and actually just do it. The other thing is that you get a little bit of momentum from actually having something out there, right? When you do it live, yes, you're going to go back and post-produce it and create it into an episode and everything like that. But when it's out there, you're getting the feedback. You're also going to potentially get people to comment and engage with what you're doing on, let's say it's LinkedIn. And so those people become potential guests for your show. So it makes guest outreach easier. It basically makes all of it a lot easier. What I found is that people are just afraid to do it live. They get nervous about that because it feels crazy. But if you can jump on a Zoom call with somebody, you can run a live show. You're going to feel a little nervous the first time. You're probably going to stumble over and you're going to have that weird, awkward feeling where you feel like everybody's staring at you for 5 seconds the first time you do it. And then when you're done, you're going to go, oh my gosh, that basically felt like being on a Zoom call with somebody. What's the big deal?
Yeah, it was wild. Doing the Marketing Ladder was entirely a live show. And I actually just did it because what I found is that people provided better answers when they knew they couldn't be edited. So it just made editing also easier. So if you're trying to do this on your own, I highly recommend doing a live show just for quality of content. So Joseph, we've talked through like why to do a podcast, how to get the first few guests lined up of just closed lost opportunities, ghosted pipeline, friendlies that you've got, and then new circles you want to break into. Talked a little bit on the platforms. For context, we use StreamYard, I've used Riverside, we've used Sprout, Spreaker, truly any number of platforms. So that's not typically the hard part. Curious, as you think through the actual follow-up, and this is where I want to land for us today. Once you've actually gotten a guest on the show, like I think a lot of people talk about, oh yeah, once they're on the show, like you build great relationships. How are you seeing the conversion from guest to actual pipeline?
So there's a couple things that you can do up front that are going to make this so much easier. The first thing is, as soon as you get on the call, let them know that you're going to stay on after, because you already have time booked on this person's calendar. Book an hour. And now if you keep your episodes to 25 minutes, now you've got a good chunk of time on their calendar where they're already blocked out, where you can talk to them. So when you jump in, go, hey, this is a recorded episode. It's recording on your computer. So we need to jump after we end the recording. Just stay in the studio and we'll chat and catch up for a couple minutes. Just that one thing is going to make them already ready to have a conversation with you. Then once you're done with the recording, you're kind of in the green room, right? Just ask them some questions about how their business is going, what's up. Ask them some of the pain points that you hear clients talk about. And that does two things for you. One is you're going to actually learn about things that are going in the industry that you might be missing. You might find new ways to position your business. Like, it's the most amazing market research on the planet. But then the great thing is, if they say something that you help with, it's super easy to turn that into a sales conversation. You just go, hey, we actually help people with that. Would it make sense for us to schedule a call about how we could help you fix that issue? And if they have the need, a lot of times they'll go, yeah, that makes total sense. And if they say no, a lot of times they're going to go, no, I don't. We have an internal person, whatever, but I have somebody who will. So focusing on talking to them about just pain points in the industry, things that are going on, is a great way to easily turn it into a sales conversation after.
I found the simple framing when somebody truly is killing it and they don't need your help, even just saying, hey, it sounds like you're killing it. Just as a side note, if you ever have any friends that ask you all the time, how are you killing it? And you don't have the time to help them, we would love to potentially be introed. And that's not the exact script, but something to that extent that's like affirming you're fantastic. We have friends, you typically get you a couple of referrals. So Joseph, this has been super fantastic. I think we will bring you back for another couple episodes to dig into some more on the practical tactical side of post-production and content repurposing. But if people want to find out more about you, where would you point them?
I hang out on LinkedIn all the time. So Joseph Lewin on LinkedIn, you'll find me.
And if you want to work with Joseph, go check out Scrappy ABM, schedule a call and indicate that you would like to build a podcast. So anyway, this has been Scrappy ABM. Joseph, thanks so much for joining me today. And listeners, we'll see you guys in the next episode. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you're looking for more content just like this, I highly recommend you go subscribe to our newsletter. We release weekly playbooks so that you have the actionable ways in which you can start to build an ABM program today. Just go to scrappyabm.com/newsletter to subscribe. And if you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate it if you'd leave a 5-star review and hit the notification bell so you never miss an episode. I look forward to seeing you in the next one.